went on a little tour of Buffalo's East Side today. Talk a little bit about what you saw on Buffalo's East Side and what it sort of made you feel in your stance on the housing crisis.
Yeah, sure. I mean, going to Buffalo's East Side today was a shocking experience. It was depressing, disheartening. You know, there are houses that are falling apart. The economic recovery has not come to East Buffalo. It's pretty clear. And I think it shows that we have a serious problem in this state, in this nation, in making this economy work for everybody. It's visual evidence that, you know, where I live, some of the neighborhoods in Manhattan are just getting richer and richer, and while other neighborhoods in the state are just getting poorer and poorer. And we face the serious possibility of becoming really two nations, rich and poor, and there's nothing more visceral than seeing it firsthand to give you that impression.
And what were your thoughts seeing it, though? I mean, what could we be doing better?
Well, there's a number of things. First of all, people need good jobs in order to invest in their houses. We saw houses actually look fine, but people just moved, probably, or vacated them, probably because they lost their jobs and had to leave. And so unemployment causes these kinds of problems. I also think government needs to seriously invest not only in rich neighborhoods, not only in tax breaks for the wealthy, but invest in poor neighborhoods for... and trying to rebuild the morale and the sense of opportunity in the poorest parts of the state. And East Side of Buffalo is a good example of the kind of areas where the residents really need a new reason to have hope.
You're going to be meeting with the Buffalo Teachers Federation and also people who are big on trying to boost Buffalo's education. Mm-hmm. What are you hoping to hear from them and also say to them?
Right. I think that public education in the state is going the exact wrong direction. We need to be building for the future. Education, public education in particular, is the same thing as opportunity. I went to public schools, and this is how people move up the class ladder. This is how we prevent having a perpetual divide between rich and poor. And at what it seems to me is going on, at the moment we should be improving public education. In Buffalo, we see teachers being fired, you know, administrators being overpaid. So it is time, and one of the things that Zephyr Teachout and I plan to do is to direct all the energies of the state into repairing and fixing the public education system.
I mean, especially Buffalo is going through huge issues right now. You just mentioned the layoffs, but also Common Core is very, very controversial right now. Yeah. What are your thoughts on Common Core?
Yes, we have my position and Zephyr Teachout's position is that schools and regions should be free to develop standards that work for them. Some people like some parts of Common Core. Overall, we feel it's been very poorly implemented. Often, sometimes it's a good idea, but without the adequate teacher training in order to make it really work. But ultimately, we should not have one standard for all of America. We should have teachers and regions developing the standards that they think fit themselves. And I think this is really important. We believe in decentralized government and decentralized rule, and we think that will be better for the students of America.
How do we fix the layoff situation here in Buffalo? I mean, where do we go from here?
You know, I think we start with a comprehensive look at just what we've been doing with the public education system, how we've let it drift. Andrew Cuomo, public education has suffered Andrew Cuomo partially because of lack of attention. He has been to one or two public schools over the course of his administration, and I think that we need to start with a task force, a full understanding of what exactly is going wrong with our public schools and how we can fix them. That's what Zephyr and I would do on day one.
Moving on from education, sure. You have a strong entrepreneurial background. How is that going to benefit Buffalo in particular?
Mm-hmm. I believe that instead of trying to encourage people to come here and create jobs, that we should be trying to build from within. That a city like Buffalo should be trying to encourage small business, doing everything they can to give all small businesses a chance to start. I believe that small businesses are the real growers of jobs, not imported businesses and not gigantic tax subsidies. So there are a number of ways to do it. Other cities have done it successfully and other regions have done it successfully. There are proven ways to encourage entrepreneurship, and I think we should be focusing on those instead of big mega projects or silver bullets, which promise a lot and then fail to deliver.
The Billion to Buffalo, sometimes controversial for other parts of the state. I mean, what are your thoughts on that billion, and do you think it's doing what it set out to do?
Right. I have two problems with Billion to Buffalo. First of all, I don't believe in one-time measures and the idea of, well, you know, it has a nice name. But, you know, Buffalo needs billions, not billion. And you have to have, in order for people to seriously invest, they need long-term commitments, not one-time projects. And I think that's really important. The second thing is, like many of the Cuomo administration's economic development policies, they're always based on handing out favors to those who are better connected to government, those who are allies of the governor, and they lead to a kind of corruption which I think is corrosive for other businesses who have to compete with the allies of the government. It is crucial for economic development that people feel the system is not rigged, that they feel they can start a business without being buddies with the government, without having a lobbying organization. They can just start it and have their fair chance. The problem I have with Startup New York and Billion for Buffalo is not the idea, nor the amount of money, but the idea that the government is going to pick winners, and that has a very bad... The picking winning strategies, the tax subsidy strategies, have a terrible track record for creating long-term sustainable employment.
You talked about corruption, the governor's Moreland Commission. What were your thoughts on that, and what's going to work to combat corruption in general?
Right. This is an issue that voters feel they can do nothing about, but I think that's wrong, that we can take on Albany corruption. We really need to elect a completely different kind of politician who, from the start, is not in Albany to line their own pockets. On the Moreland Commission, only in New York can the Anti-Corruption Commission itself be corrupted. It reads like a bad joke. We created an Anti-Corruption Commission, it got corrupted. I believe that members of Cuomo's staff may have violated state law in their violations, and I think it's been a shocking lack of oversight and a shocking lack of investigation. The entire investigation of the Moreland Commission sits on the back of a federal prosecutor. The state should be taking care of its own problems. Second of all, I think the Moreland Commission's work remains undone. It was in the middle of investigating corruption. It had some great leads, and that's when it got shut down, and that's when it got steered away from the governor's allies and donors. So I think if we were elected, we would reboot the Moreland Commission. We would set it and let it finish its job and start to really root out some of the corruption in Albany. We need to have a different set of incentives facing the people who run for office. Right now, people run for office, and their idea is, well, you know, I'll be there, but I'll collect all this money on the side, and I'll do this, and I'll do that. We just have the wrong type of person running for office or in office. Some of the right people running for office, the wrong kind of people in office who are there for really what I would describe as the wrong reasons. We need to uproot that culture of corruption from the root and really reboot the Albany government.
Hydrofracking,
sure.
A huge controversial issue, especially
yes.
for upstate New York.
Yes.
What are your thoughts on the fact that the governor is actually going to have to think about maybe lifting the ban? I mean, if you and Teach Out are elected, would you lift that ban?
We would not. We are both opposed to hydrofracking. We think it's another one of these things that we will deeply regret if we decide to allow happening in the beautiful state of New York. New York, to my mind, should not go down the primrose path of fracking. You know, there's a theory that it will develop all these jobs. I think it will be at the expense of our environment. We've gone this way before. We've tried out heavy industry. We've tried that has polluted large parts of the state. If we go back to it again, I'm afraid we're just going to go back where we started. So we're both strenuously opposed to hydrofracking and think it's a bad deal for New York. I should add, this is a strong contrast to my opponent, Kathy Hochul. She hasn't spoken on this recently. In Congress, she voted in favor of measures to allow hydrofracking as a congresswoman. And her and I have a completely different, very strong contrast on the environment and among immigration guns. But particularly on the environment, this is one area where the lieutenant governor candidates have a very different position.
My understanding is that you and your running mate are anti-militarized police force.
Right.
Some people say that militarizing a police force kind of does handle situations with large groups. I mean, what are your thoughts on that going forward if we had a situation on, you know, that is so unfortunate that happened in Ferguson?
You know, I think we have a serious problem not only in the state, but more clearly in this country, where we have both citizens and police forces with military weapons. Military weapons are meant for killing people. They're meant for wars. They're not meant for either private citizens or for the police forces to have. And it really is raises a question of what kind of civilization we want to live in. You know, why are we living in a civilization where the police are militarized? There's no defense of it. There's no really good reason for the police to have military weapons. And for that matter, there's not a good reason for great numbers of the civilian population to have military weapons as well. I think we need, and everyone wants to live in a peaceful society, military weapons are not meant for police or civilians.
Last question.
Sure.
You've been calling out to debate your opponent for lieutenant governor.
Yeah.
What would you say? Why is it so important that you guys do need to sit down and have some type of a debate?
Okay, so there are several issues that strongly distinguish me from Kathy Hochul, and I think our vote matters an enormous amount because the lieutenant governor vote is the deciding vote in the state Senate in the event of a tie. That is a deadlocked chamber as it is, and so the differences between Kathy Hochul and I could make an enormous difference over the next 4 years on issues like immigration, on issues like the environment, and on issues like gun control. I am a mainstream progressive Democrat. Kathy Hochul is on the right wing of the Democratic Party and in some ways, to my mind, should be in the Republican primary or perhaps in the Tea Party primary. So the voters need to understand the differences between Kathy Hochul and I if they care about the environment, if they care about immigration, if they care about gun control, or if they care about corruption. I should also add that Kathy Hochul and I view the position as lieutenant governor very differently. I, as lieutenant governor, will be a policy entrepreneur. I will be trying to understand or lead crusades that move New York into the future that can put New York on the cutting edge of the policy environment in the United States. Kathy Hochul has said that all she will do is support Andrew Cuomo. She will be in the tradition of New York lieutenant governors, which is to say they do nothing, not they do nothing, but they say nothing, interesting. They kind of support the governor, they cut ribbons, and I don't think we need that role in Albany right now. I think the governor has enough yes men as it is. We don't need his lieutenant governor to be another yes man or yes woman. But I also want to point out that we see the position in really different ways. She sees the ultimate duty of lieutenant governor is to be loyal to the governor. I believe the lieutenant governor can and should be an independent voice, critical of the governor when necessary, supportive of when also necessary. And generally speaking, I am an academic. I ask the hard questions. In Albany, I will ask the hard question and start this project of cleaning up Albany.
Lieutenant Gubernatorial Candidate Tim Wu, thank you so much for speaking with me today.
Thank you so much.